Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians. It's this one of the shortest things he wrote. It is also one of the most beautiful things that he wrote. It's four short chapters. And if you ever want to read Paul kind of at his best and in his one of his better moods, I highly recommend the letter to the Philippians. He is writing it from prison. He was in prison a lot, and yet he is writing with joy that he knows Christ. He must have had an awful lot of time in prison, those many times he was in, to reflect on the conversion to Christ, for he, of course, was a Jew. And he was still a Jew when he died. He was converted to Christ, not to Christianity, for there was no such thing as Christianity then. And more importantly, he said that he was converted in many of his letters to knowing the suffering Christ, to knowing Christ crucified. And before this conversion that he talks about, he says that there were all these things that came in his life before that happened. And he lists them as being the consummate Jew. He was a very learned man. He spoke languages. He was a Pharisee. He himself was circumcised on the eighth day. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He admits he was a persecutor of the church and that he was in all his life blameless under the law of Moses. He was pedigree, so to speak. He liked to list his credentials. And he was what we would call a religious man, a righteous man. And yet he says, all those things that came before, all those things that I was told were right, all those things that I did because the law was important to me, because God had handed the law to Moses, I count it all rubbish. Or the real translation of the word, the Hebrew word, is skubala, which means dung. I count it all dung. Now I want you to think of your favorite word for dung, and that's what you count it all as. That's what Paul was saying. And Paul's journey into Christ begins, as he tells us sometimes, on that road. But it begins with the question that he asked himself, and we have to ask ourselves, to whom does my life belong? Paul seems to be saying that the other things he had in his life were not bad. They were not bad things. They were holy things. He had been taught they were holy things. But now he has to choose between the competing goals in his life and then forgetting what lies behind, or as we might say, or the good that is no longer good enough. He has to ask one other question: what is the one thing I must do? What is the one thing I must do? Most of these questions feel unanswerable most days for me. To regard everything that was before Christ as rubbish is a difficult thing to even imagine. Pastor Carrie and I sat down and talked about this text, and she said she didn't know how she felt about her faith being expressed this way, since she has always been a Christian and it's been an evolving faith. There was never a time before. There was never a time when any of it was rubbish. And I understand what she's saying, because I too am a cradle-to-grave Christian. I've always been in the church. But it is an ever-evolving struggle, and some days are easier than others. Some days the devotion to Christ makes sense, and on other days the moments are long. And what was good enough. Sometimes as a minister, I get up in the morning and I think, I would rather be a good Christian than a good minister. I find being a good minister easier. There are moments when I too, like Paul, would count a lot of it as rubbish, though, because I know that many places in my life did not emanate from knowing Christ, and especially from not knowing Christ crucified, to know the power of his resurrection and to share in his suffering, to become like him in his death. These are words that are even unfamiliar on some days. Is it true for you that these words are unfamiliar on some days? But there are occasions in my life when I know that before it all happened, there was some rubbish in there. And there were moments when I had a lump in my throat and I could not speak from knowing what it meant to be Christ's own. There are moments when I have been lifted out of the trash heap and set apart, where I have experienced God's love for me and for others so profoundly that it is indescribable. And I'm wondering how many of you right now might be a little surprised by what I'm saying, or maybe even some of you a little uncomfortable. The reason I ask is because in all my reflections over the years, I would not change for one moment belonging to a progressive church, to be part of the progressive Christian movement, to be within it. Not for one second would I ever change that. I have studied and learned, and I have watched all of you study and learn what it means to follow Jesus, to know his teachings, to follow his ways, to commit our lives to the man who gave us the parables and who gave us the Sermon on the Mount, who told us that loving one another was the most important thing, that loving God and loving one another is the greatest of all the commandments, the Jesus who told us that the kingdom is now and not in the future, to forgive one another, to feed one another, to clothe one another. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's a song I easily sing. Do you? I'm grateful for a congregation where we strive to follow Jesus' teachings for the betterment of the whole creation. But I also want to tell you that sometimes I feel like we avoid the theology of the cross. This is where we are uncomfortable. The language of Jesus dying for our sins, the language of Jesus rising for our sins, to say that we know Christ crucified is language that is not used very often. We do not say to one another, I want to seek and follow the suffering Christ all the way to his death. Paul didn't really know Jesus. Paul knew Christ. Paul didn't say he wanted to know about Christ. He said he wanted to know him personally and the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings. To share in his sufferings, what does that mean? Today is World Communion Sunday, and everywhere around the world, people are coming to the table as the body of Christ. They're all coming for the broken bread. They're all coming for the blood poured out. And it means something different to almost every single person. But the table is and always will be the remembrance of the cross. If we all sat and talked all around the world about what it means, what the cross means, what the crucified Christ means, and what it means to come to that table, there would be as many explanations as there are people. But there are kind of two ways we understand our Christianity. We have some strains within our own faith. Today is a day where we try to mend some of that strains, where we come together and say we're one in Christ. But there are some divisions. And part of the problem is that there are two ways to come to this understanding. One is through Jesus. One is through Jesus' teachings, to follow him and what he taught us, not easy to do. But the other is to follow Christ, to try to grapple with what it means for Jesus to be the Christ for us. Too often, Jesus' teachings are a distant cousin of the crucified Christ. The Sermon on the Mount, what it calls to do, is but a faint cry in the background. But then there are also churches where Jesus is the guide, the shepherd, where each week the teachings are held up as the way, the truth, and the life, but the cross itself stands so far away on a hill, and it's only brought out once in a while at Lent and at Easter. It seems to me that as Christians, we are to integrate Jesus and the Christ in order to have the fullness of our faith. It isn't easy. We all tend to lean away towards one or the other. One of them will make us pause. I remember always that Christ was not Jesus' last name. We say it as if it was a name, but it isn't. It was something that happened as a result of the choices that he made. It is something that happened because he felt called to follow God even into the wilderness, all the way to the cross. And I believe that all of us can know Jesus Christ without too much theological debate. It doesn't always have to be a difficult, esoteric discussion. The mystery of the cross and the mystery of the tomb and the mystery of the table are all our legacy. They help us to press on persistently, tenaciously, and unwaveringly toward the goal of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And to count everything that went before as rubbish, garbage, fill in the blank. And then you can answer the question, and I can answer the question, maybe not every day, but a lot of days, to whom does my life belong? And then forgetting what lies behind, to ask ourselves, what is the one thing I must do? Paul tells us, press on to make knowing Christ the goal, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Amen.